Hi, this is Jalen for Dobbs, where tire buying is easy. At GoToDobbs.com, shop brands, sizes, pricing, and our amazing deals. With 40-plus locations, get same-day install. For tires, it's Dobbs.
For deals you can use, click on GoToDobbs.com now.
Jay Delsing, every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. Here on 101 ESPN, always a great program. If you are moving around on a Sunday morning, check out Golf with Jay Delsing. And, of course, you can check that out as well at Jay Delsing's website. And you can hear and see everything there. Jay, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning, everybody. How are you guys?
Good. Okay, so clearly Scottie Scheffler is on a roll and in a zone. The best roll, the best zone that Jay Delsing was ever in. Do you recall it?
I do. I think I had three or four top tens in a row, and my fourth event was like a 20th place finish, and you know, when in those three top tens, I had a chance to win. It was, everything was just kind of happening. I couldn't wait to play. I couldn't wait to, you know, if I started off with a couple bogeys, it didn't matter, which I did that pretty often, and so. It was just there was just this sense that everything was going to be okay, and it didn't last very long. Nothing like Scottie Scheffler. Guys, this is funny. So Scottie Scheffler has been world number one now for like 82 weeks or something like that, right? So maybe a little over maybe a year and a half or something, and some kids were saying, yeah, Scotty, this is so cool, world number one, just like Tiger. And somebody else in the crowd said, yeah, you only need to do it for 11 more years.
Jay, outside of Scottie Scheffler winning the Masters, what was another story that you enjoyed following?
Oh, man, I got to tell you, Brooke. First of all, I loved having the LIV guys back. I loved having just all the best players there. I got to tell you, John Rahm looked like he was hit by a car or something. He looked like, I know he's got young kids, and maybe that was part of it, but he had, before the event started, Brooke, he had bags under his eyes. I think he has taken a beating for this decision, and I think it weighs on him. And I can tell you this, guys, we've talked about this before. There's not one LIV guy that didn't want to be playing in the Players' Championship, and there's not one of them that won't want to play in the Heritage Tournament this week. They're great, great events, and they're historic, and they're super cool. So I like seeing the LIV guys get back together, and just guys like Bryson DeChambeau, he's fun when he's in the equation. You never know what the heck he might do, you know? And so I really enjoyed that. Tiger was my next, Brooke. I got to tell you, it was difficult to watch on Saturday and Sunday. He just played his heart out to make the cut, and the Friday conditions were ridiculously hard, but man, he could barely walk on Saturday and Sunday, and I don't know how he's going to get one more win and get that 83rd win. It was tough to watch.
Jay, as you well know, you have two daughters that play golf, and they work with you, so I follow the LPGA Tour. Nelly Korda, has won four consecutive starts, and she's looking to become just the third LPGA player to win five in a row. And while Scottie Scheffler gets the headlines, Nelly Korda is putting together one of the great runs ever in golf history.
Yeah, Danny, back for, absolutely. I have been reaching out to her people, try to get her on the show. When I watch Nelly Korda play golf, you guys, there's this elegance and power, and she's a beautiful woman as well. There's just all of these things come together that look so great when she plays. It reminds me a lot of when Tiger first came out, where you watch, you're like, what makes this kid so special? And you look and go, it looks like they were born to play the game. There's this power that Nelly has that a lot of the LPGA players don't have, and she's athletic. It's remarkable what she's doing, and she's fun to watch.
Jay, why do you think the women seem to have more of a technically sound swing as opposed to the men?
Man, that's a really good question, Danny. It might be temperament. I'm not really sure. Now, I know why, but when we're talking about some of the Asian players, and especially the South Koreans, it fits within their culture that they work on their golf game in a certain way. And when they're young, even the men, when the young young children are taught the game. They're taught from a very technical standpoint. It's like, this is how you hold a club correctly. This is the plane of the swing you want to swing on. And a lot of the kids that are good in the U.S. are more kids that are growing up in the backyard. And that's changing a little bit, but in my generation, the guys that played on the PGA Tour were also guys that played soccer. We played three or four sports a year, you know, and that's kind of going by the wayside. But with the women, they work so much more on their technique, and where the men, they're working on their power. I mean, it is just a different game, and it'll roll. I think eventually the girls will start getting into more of the power, but their technique is, I tell everybody, Danny, and you know, you've heard me say this way too often, but if you really want to learn about the game, watch the LPGA players, because they're much more relatable. I mean, when you watch a normal current PGA Tour player, you know, just drive the ball routinely, you know, 340 yards, 350 yards, that's really hard to relate to, that kind of speed and things like that. But the women have such great control over their golf swings and the golf ball, and it's much more relatable for the average guy.
Jay, a surprise decision for one of the best junior golfers in the world yesterday, 20-year-old Gordon Sargent, I believe is his last name, announced yesterday that he's returning to Vanderbilt for his senior season instead of opting into his membership on the PGA Tour. What is your reaction to his decision?
Vandy boy.
Yeah, I know, right? So first of all, if you've ever been to Vanderbilt, you don't ever want to leave. I mean, it is really a cool place. What I would ask him, Brooke, and I don't know this, but I'm guessing, is that, you know, Caitlin Clark just signed this, you know, a $70,000 contract with the W as the number one pick. But when she was at Iowa, she was making almost $3.5 million on her NIL. I wonder if this young man's got some NIL money, and I'm sure he does. And he's also able to, the way I understand it, with PGA Tour University, he's able to defer this card and take it next year when he graduates. So it's an interesting thing, Brooke. My take on it was, I was surprised. I thought, man, I was ready to get out of college, and I was ready to try to see if I could, you know, do this on the PGA Tour. I was really surprised that he stayed for another year. But you know what? He might be getting a lot of influence for his degree from his parents and things like that. And like I said, when you go down and look at Vanderbilt's facilities, I mean, it is like a spa. It is beautiful down there.
Hey, Jay, for those that aren't aware of it, the young people that might be driving around, your father was a Major League Baseball player. You grew up in a Major League family, and you're well aware of and knew the great Hall of Famer Whitey Herzog. What are your fondest memories of Whitey?
Randy, I was probably 12 years old, something like that, and my dad dragged me along to one of these baseball I don't know what it was, like a dinner or something. I don't remember exactly what it was. I know it was important because I had to wear my church shoes. You know, I had to make sure I looked kind of nice. And we're walking up. I'm walking right next to my dad, and we're walking towards the bar. And Whitey has got his elbow leaning on the bar, and he says to the bartender, "Hey, bartender, buy this man a drink. He was a good low ball hitter." And he was talking about my dad. And I was like, this is so cool. And I sat there listening to these two guys talk baseball. And they had no English. It was all of these different sounds. Like, did you see that fastball? And he was like, you're up at the plate and shoof, that ball. You know, they're making all these sounds. And I'm over here going, what are these guys talking about? You know? And they carried on for probably 20 minutes. And they just talked about the game. And they just talked about oh man, just stuff. I was trying to take it all in. I didn't know what the heck was going on. And then I asked my dad afterwards. I'm like, Dad, what was all that? And he goes, Son, we're talking baseball. And I'm like, we are? I was like, it sounded like a bunch of gibberish. I mean, nobody used any. I mean, yeah. So I'll never forget that. And Whitey was such a you know what? When I think of Whitey, he had such an incredible feel for the game, and he managed the game with his gut. And I remember him saying to a manager that I won't say who it was, but he said, man, you're not using your gut to manage this game at all. He goes, when you get to the ballpark, don't you get a feel for, like, if I need somebody in the seventh inning tonight, I'm going with so-and-so. You know, and it was interesting because there's so much of this metrics and all of these decisions are made by the front office. Whitey would have gone crazy, you know, because he knew his player so well. And I think what made him so successful to me, you guys, is that especially in the bullpen and even on the bench, everybody pretty much knew their role. This is what's going to happen. This is what Ricky Horton and Kenny Daly are good buddies. And they used to say, we didn't even need to call. We knew at this situation and who was coming up. And, you know, Kenny had much more of a lively fastball and Ricky had much more of a, you know, some off-speed stuff. And they would know exactly who to get up and when. So, we lost a really great St. Louis icon tonight in Whitey. It's really sad, guys.
Who do you have on the show on Sunday morning?
We have Danny and I went and did a little fireside chat down at Dalhousie, and Randy, have you played Dalhousie?
I played there a couple times last year. I love it.
Isn't that an awesome place? So it's a national club sitting, you know, just an hour or so away from St. Louis. So we went down and talked golf. So we recorded that, and we've got some of the folks from X Golf here locally that are doing some really neat stuff. X Golf has some South Korean tech that is proprietary and is pretty interesting in their simulators. And then we have Zach Conlin from Elevate Golf out at Lake St. Louis. They've got a great training program and are really helping young players play better golf.
I thought the North Korean tech with Kim Jong-un being able to shoot a 38.
Here we go.
A 38. Jay, with like,
I didn't think
12?
I could get out of here without
twelve holes in one.
Why did I say South Korea? I should have just said Korea.
You could have been. You opened it up for me.
I teed it up for you, man. Just keep crushing it. I love it.
Thanks, Jay. Have a great weekend, brother.